Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies. Get your prance on with your host, Lisa Lamont, who will guide you to the next level of awareness with other women just like you. There's no need to hold back because you're safe here with your fellow kitties. And now, here's Lisa.
Good afternoon, everybody, and thank you for joining me for another exciting show. I have another incredible guest that I have been waiting for weeks to get her on my show, and her schedule is so crazy. As a matter of fact, she just started teaching class today, and we'll be talking a little bit about that. Her name is Jean Day, and she is just an incredible, incredible person. She's going to be talking about overcoming stress through chanting. And I don't know if you know that much about Buddhism, but it's always been a philosophy that has been shown to have effects on our well-being. And so Jean is going to be explaining us in a little more in-depth about what Buddhism is and how she uses it in her life. She has a master's degree in clinical psychology with 17 years of experience either as a clinician or a college instructor. And she has been and I hope I pronounce this right, she'll correct me, a Nichiren Buddhist for the past 15 years. She is a guest expert on various radio shows across the country, and she just recently filmed her first TV pilot. So welcome, Jean.
Thank you so much, Lisa. I'm so happy to be here.
So, you know, I want to jump in because I don't know much about Buddhism. And so okay. I just thought maybe if we could just start off the show, because we're going to talk about your title, but how did you first learn about Buddhism?
I actually learned about Buddhism in college. I had gone to a college in Los Angeles and took a death and afterlife class, and the course studied all the religions and their view of what happens when someone dies and after death. And I was just so taken and fascinated by Buddhism. And I remember the word that she used that caught my attention. She said in Buddhism, there's aggregates. And she talked about how after we die, these remnants of our soul live on. I just thought, that is really interesting to me. And so if you know Los Angeles, everything is in L.A. And so I just basically went to the Yellow Pages. I went to the Yellow Pages and I looked up Buddhism. And sure enough, there was a listing. And I called the number that was on there. And that's how I ended up going to my first Buddhist meeting.
Oh, that is a hoot. That is a hoot, and so people that are listening, you live in Georgia right now, so you kind of made your way across the country. So, you know, and that's so cute when you say in LA, you can, you know, when it comes to anything spiritual, you know, California is definitely, you know, the go-to state for any spiritualism.
Yes, so, it's the Mecca.
It is. And so for the California kittens, because we have a lot of our prancing kittens are from California, so they're all smiling. Like, you know, for people in California, that's pretty much the norm.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And it was so wonderful because I have to say this, though. The first time that I went to a meeting, and I thought, this is just too bizarre for me. I don't think I like this. And so I didn't go back. And about 2 years later, I was in a hair salon, and a woman was kind of in a rush, and she said, I've got to go. I have a Buddhist meeting. And I said, you're Buddhist. I said, I would love to go to a Buddhist meeting. And she invited me. She said, absolutely. And it was the same group of people that I had met 2 years prior. It was that same group. And so that the second time I thought, well, I'm going to ask questions. I'm going to keep going back. And, you know, it went from there.
Well, that's like meant to be. I mean, it's one thing to pick that one out of the phone book. and then 2 years later to meet somebody who happens to mention it, and then you ask, and it's the same. I mean, it's a, I mean, if that isn't the universe talking to you, Gina, I don't know what is.
I agree, Lisa. I absolutely agree.
Yeah.
And it was kind of interesting because at the time, I was gravitating towards Tibetan Buddhism, and that's more of it's more strict and than the Buddhism that I practice. But I, you know, because I was introduced to Nichiren Buddhism and the Soka Gakkai, which is the organization that Nichiren was part of, the Soka Gakkai International, you know, it worked out just perfectly because the SGI is geared towards the everyday person. And that's what really drew me in was, you know, how to practice Buddhist principles as an everyday regular person.
Yeah. So let me so the next question that I know that I have, so I'm sure that the listeners have, is Buddhism equal to God? Do you believe in God? And how do the two connect?
Well, I get asked that question often, and
yeah,
you know, the nice thing about Nichiren Buddhism is that it's all-encompassing. What I mean by that is that basically, you know, we like to include all religions and look for similarities. Now, I did a speaking engagement a few years ago on the similarities between Buddhism and Christianity. And one of the things that we talked about was the notion of God. And in the Nichiren Buddhism, what Christians would call God, we call the mystic law. And the main difference between Buddhism and Christianity in regards to God is that we don't pray to any outside deity. So when we do the chanting, and the chant is called Nam-myoho Renge Kyo, some people may have heard of it. It was very popular, and Tina Turner actually, when she did her movie about her life, demonstrated the Nichiren Buddhism and the chanting of Nam-myoho Renge Kyo. But part of what we chant is that we believe that we are God-like, meaning we possess the power to change our lives. So when we chant to bring forth our own power within. So we don't chant to an external deity to help us or to remove anything from our lives. And that's primarily the big difference. We do, however, you know, people say, well, what about Jesus Christ? And we do believe that Jesus Christ existed and was what we would call in Buddhism an enlightened being. He was an enlightened being, but we don't believe in worshiping him.
Yeah.
So that's the primary difference. But there's a lot of people that come to Buddhism that believe in God, and that's okay. And that's the nice thing, like I said, about this particular sect of Buddhism is, you know, you don't have to go to a meeting immediately believing everything that they say about Buddhism. A lot of people come in saying, hey, and I was the same way. I was raised, my grandparents were Jehovah's Witnesses. My parents didn't really practice any religion. But so I had a lot of questions when I first started. But yes, the concept of God is that we are godlike, or what we call Buddha-like. We are the Buddha, and so we manifest the power to change our own lives. So that's pretty much the difference.
Well, you know, you said a couple minutes ago, it was like my, you know, I'm going to have Oprah moments throughout the conversation. I know we are, because I'm really excited about having you on the show. It struck me, though, when you said, you know, we don't worship Jesus. So that struck me, because if Jesus were here on earth right now, maybe he is back down here, I don't know. But Jesus, I believe in my heart, would not want to be worshipped. That's not right. What his role was to be down here. He didn't come down here to be worshipped. He was a servant. You know, he walked among the regular people. He didn't want to be like, look at me, I'm special. I'm God's son. We're all God's children, however people believe God is to be. And that was like, I mean, I just want to really touch on that. When you said, we don't practice worshiping Jesus, and that I'm like, you know, Jesus wouldn't want to be worshipped either. And the other thing I wanted to talk to you about, and I don't know how Buddhism looks at crosses, I have mm-hmm. never understood why a church and people wear crosses. I don't understand that, because they say, well, it's to remember how Christ died. Well, then wear the picture of Christ. It's like somebody gets shot with a gun. Are we going to wear a gun around our neck?
Yeah.
Are we going to put diamonds on the gun? You know, that
right.
they killed, you know, John Lennon. You know, if we love John Lennon, are we going to wear just a gun with diamonds on it? I don't know how Buddhism looks at that, but I've never understood the churches that have the symbolism of a cross on their temples. And so I wanted to
right.
ask you, how does Buddhism look at crosses? Isn't that true? Do you agree with
yes.
that?
Yes, I absolutely agree with you, Lisa, because when I first got involved in Buddhism, I thought they worshipped the statue of the Buddha, which is kind of similar to, you know, worshipping the cross. And there are
yeah.
sects of Buddhism that worship the Buddha. But in Nichiren Buddhism, we don't worship the Buddha or any type of trinket
symbol.
That, yeah, exactly, symbol that represents, you know, what our philosophy is about. So, yeah, in terms of crosses, we would just view that as a trinket. I have met Buddhists that do still have crosses up on their walls, and I've asked them, I don't understand why you have the cross on your wall. And I think it's just some people have difficulty reconciling that, you know, going into Buddhism and separating from Christianity, some people have that issue. And, but I don't, yeah, I personally, you know, I might buy incense holders or something with the Buddha, but I don't worship the Buddha. And I've never understood exactly what you were saying. It was, you know, the crosses. I always wondered, I was like, well, if he died on a cross, why would you wear the cross around your neck, you know?
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, I absolutely agree.
I just wanted to ask you what you thought. Well, you know, it's so cute, Jean. I'm looking right now. I'm in my living room. I'm not in my office. And I'm looking out at my little Buddha that I have, my
Ooh.
Little Buddha. I've always loved Buddhas. And, you know, rubbing the little Buddha's belly for good luck. Does Buddhism believe in rubbing the little Buddha belly, or is that just a folklore? Because I rub my little Buddha, and it just puts me in a happy place. You know, I just love my
right.
little Buddha.
Well, it's not part of the Buddhism that I practice, but it is part of some of the other sects of Buddhism, like the Chinese
yeah.
Buddhism with the Buddha statues and the, you know, the big fat Buddha with the belly. And yes,
yeah.
there are sects of Buddhism that do
yeah.
Worship the statue, but we don't.
I love that you're on my show, Jean, and you're so open, and you're just open to everything. Like you say, there's different, you know, I'm not out to change anybody's beliefs. I
right.
honor everybody's beliefs. I honor however they get to wherever they want to get to. You know, I'm not out to change it, but I also want to give everyone the opportunity. So people who are still out there searching and looking, and so that's why I'm so grateful to have you on the show, because a lot of people don't understand Buddhism, and they're curious. And so
yes.
so we have the title of the show called Overcoming Stress Through Chanting with You. So can
yes.
you explain a little bit what that means, chanting?
Yes. Well, as I mentioned earlier, we chant Nam Myoho Renge Kyo. And what we do, we have an altar in our home that you, with a scroll in it, and the scroll is called the Gohanzen. Now, you get the GoHunz, and usually when people start attending an SGI meeting, they usually go because of a friend or a relative. And so that person is kind of considered your sponsor. And so you get your GoHunz, and when, you know, you decide and your sponsor decides that you're ready to take the step as becoming a Nichiren Buddhist. And so you get the GoHunz, and what we do is in our home, we sit down in front of the altar, typically Indian style, or you can sit in a chair. There's nothing around the altar, meaning we don't keep pictures of, you know, people or anything on the altar. It's simply encases our GoHunz, and we chant Nam-myoho Renge Kyo. And what this does, let me tell you first what Nam-myoho Renge Kyo means. It means the law of cause and effect through sound. And so when we chant Nam-myoho Renge Kyo, what we're doing is synchronizing our life with the mystic law. And by doing that, we bring forth what we call our Buddha nature. Now, our Buddha nature is basically what anyone would call your best self or your highest self. And so what we do when we chant is a lot of what people do when they meditate or pray, is basically we focus on particular problems or issues that we're having, and we chant to manifest the best result for that situation. So just to give you kind of an example, I was chanting this morning, and I have taken on a new position, and I was chanting to be able to be the best possible servant to people that I can be. And so I was chanting to, because, you know, when I first started this practice, I was searching so hard, Lisa, for I was always a very depressed person. I struggled with depression. I struggled with anxiety. And so part of what I have chanted about over these 15 years is I wanted to always be a happy person. I couldn't figure out why I sometimes would get so depressed. And so part of what I do is I chant for myself and the issues that I'm struggling with. And I also chant for other people that I know and maybe problems they're struggling with. And you can chant for a minute. You can chant for an hour. It all depends on you. And there's no, and this is, you know, again, a nice thing about this particular sect of Buddhism is there's no set amount to chant. There's very few rules in regards to what you can chant about. There's no limitation. So if you want to chant because your car broke down and you need a new car, you chant about that. There's nothing that you cannot chant about, and there's nothing regarding anyone else that you can't chant about. So when you chant, most people experience a decrease in their stress level. A lot of newcomers, when they first hear the chanting, especially when you come to a large meeting, that it gives them, it fills them with a sense of peace, and they really start to feel like whatever it was that was plaguing their mind disappears or dissipates. So
yeah, I can imagine the energy field of more than one person coming together in unity for the better of mankind. People would have to pick up on that. They would have to absolutely feel that sense of that connection and that spirituality coming forward. That's beautiful. That's beautiful.
Yeah, it's very powerful. And it's, like I said, you know, some mornings I might do 10 minutes and then some mornings I might do an hour. My personal belief is the more that you chant, the more you're able to bring out your Buddha nature so that your environment, whether positive or negative, doesn't affect you one way or the other. And that's really the goal, is to be able to operate at a higher level of functioning. You know, typically what we do is when we go out into the world, we experience stressors. And so the stressors may bring us down or cause us anxiety or depression or anger or whatever emotion there is. And by chanting, you're able to operate from your Buddhahood, and so that you can be your best self despite your circumstances, no matter what your circumstances are.
So have you ever created a video showing how you chant, or is that something that you're taught not to practice and share with others, or is that something that...
Oh, no. You can get on YouTube, and there's a ton of videos for showing you how to chant Nam-myoho Renge Kyo. Yes.
Yeah. And so my question is, have you created one yet?
No, I have not. No.
So here's my little challenge to you, Jean. I would love for you to create one at any time between now and Christmas. So I'm giving you lots of leeway here.
Okay.
To create for the Prancing Kittens, and create a sample, you know, to explain of how to chant and questions that you might ask yourself, and just kind of do a little demo. It doesn't have to be for the kittens per se, but to just do a demo, because I would love to have you share that, because I'm very intrigued. And you talk about overcoming depression, and you know, I have struggled with depression throughout my life, and it's by changing my eating habit and my way of thinking. You know, I do mirror love. You know, I don't chant, but maybe I should incorporate chanting in front of the mirror there too, about, you know, what I want to bring into my day, because that's why I do this show. I want women to help women around the world be their best. And so many people I know are medicated. I was on an antidepressant for over 10 years, Jean. You know, the doctor's answer was, here, take some Paxil, take this or that. I've been antidepressant medication free for 5 years, and I'm happier and I'm clearer than ever. But I've replaced that medication with eating organically, you know, mostly organic, moving around, getting myself out every day, and staying in that frame of mind. And so I'm so grateful that you're sharing that, because women need to know that they're not alone out there that deal with depression, and men too. I mean, men do it too. But I'm so grateful that you were so open and shared that with the listeners.
Well, thank you. You don't have to have... I should have said this, but you don't have to have a Gohanzen to chant. What we recommend, if you're interested in chanting, is find a quiet place in your home. A place where you have a blank wall with, you know, no pictures or anything there, and just sit down, and you can start chanting Nam-myoho Renge Kyo, and really focus on what you hope to manifest in your life. You know, really kind of get a picture in your mind, or formulate, a mantra or affirmation, and chant with that. Because it really, especially for newcomers, the power of this prayer is limitless. I mean, people have extraordinary experiences when they start chanting. And you can incorporate, I heard a friend the other day tell me about a priest that chants Nam-myoho Renge Kyo. You know, you don't have to be a Buddhist to start chanting. And I always tell people, you know, the best way to find out about a philosophy or a religion is to try it and just see, you know, how does it make you feel? We encourage newcomers, and even people like myself who've been practicing for a while, to write down 2 or 3 goals that they'd like to see happen and chant about them, and give it 30 days. And chant morning and evening. We do morning and evening chanting, and just try it out and see how it works for you.
Yeah. You know, I'm thinking too that if you could go onto YouTube you know, before you make one, if you, because you know the name, so people that are listening may not know how to spell it or pronounce it. So maybe right. if you could find something on YouTube and share that, that would be beautiful. Because I'm excited.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, I'm curious on, you know, I am always opening to trying new ideas. You know, we're here
yeah.
on this earth to learn and grow till we take our last breath. You know, we never stop mm-hmm. learning. We never stop growing. You know, I have learned so much from talking to people with different religious backgrounds. I mean, there's something interesting that I find in everybody's spiritual beliefs, you know, no matter what it is. There's always something I take away that I didn't know before, that it makes sense. And I'm like, wow, I didn't know that. I mean, we're down on this earth to support and share love and learn and grow. And, you know, having you on the show today and just being so open and sharing with us is I'm just tickled pink. I'm tickled pink that you
thank you
on the show today.
Well, and the nice thing, I have to say, the part that I'm the most grateful for is that, you know, a lot of religions are exclusive, and meaning, you know, you have to practice what we say and do to be accepted into a particular church or religion. And the nice part about Buddhism, this sect of Buddhism, is that, you know, we're inclusive. We have a variety of subgroups in the Soka Gakkai. For example, we have the LGBT community. We have the women's division, the men's division, the young children's division, the elementary school division. We incorporate all people. So it doesn't matter what you're coming in with. You can come in and try the chanting just as you are. And I found that to be, it made me feel good. It made me feel good that I didn't have to be ashamed of anything about myself or feel bad about maybe anything that I had done or, you know, or even to do the chanting I could still hold on to my Christian beliefs and try the chanting and see if I like it. You know, there was no, okay, you have to believe this, this, and this, and these are the rules. And, you know, and I really, that's what kind of made me skeptical about other faiths, you know. And like I mentioned that I grew up with Jehovah's Witnesses, and they're a very exclusive religious group. And, you know, I couldn't understand that. You know, I thought, you know, we're all here. We may all be different, but, you know, we have to be able to create peace with one another and love each other as we are. And
yeah,
that's
yeah.
what I love the most about this practice.
That is, you know, you when you mentioned the Jehovah Witness, I had two of the most lovely women that I went through a period of my life where when I lived in Marysville. And these two women that were so lovely came to visit once a month or once every other month. I don't know how often it was. And I would invite them in, and they would answer questions. They would share with me, not once, I would say probably 3 years of this, never once did they say, come and join us. They never put pressure on me. They asked me questions about my beliefs and my faith, and I want you to know, we had a lovely ongoing conversation, and I looked forward to their visits. And you know, I want to give a shout out for the Jehovah's Witness. Those two women, they answered. I was intrigued. I was interested. The skeptical things you heard, they answered those openly. I have to tell you, I was so impressed, and I learned a lot of things. You know, it's not, you know, people, when you hear something against a religion, they'll pick on one or two things that other religions don't do, and then they're like, oh, you got to stay away. And they explained to me, like holidays, for example, why they don't celebrate holidays. And it just
right.
made perfect sense that, you know,
right.
we should be celebrating people for every day of their life. It shouldn't just
yes.
be their birthday. We shouldn't just call up grandma on her birthday or a cousin, we should love them year round. And I'm like, wow, that makes sense. You know, the holidays, people, there's more suicides at Christmas time, and people force get together because they have to, because it's family. And I'm like, and then all the media, and I had to agree with these women when they said it in such a way. I'm like, wow, that's so true. And I walked away with that when the holidays come, I don't pressure my children out of town to have to come in there. Go with, you're married, go with that family. I don't guilt them. I mean, I've really learned a lot from them. So I just wanted to share that. I just, you know, there's good in every religion.
Yes, and I hope, I don't mean to sound negative about Jehovah's Witnesses.
Oh, no, but you didn't. No, you didn't say anything negative, but I just wanted to share, you know, that there is good in every religion. You know, I'm not, that's why I don't try to change anyone's beliefs. With these two women, I wasn't out to change theirs, and they clearly knew I wasn't going to change mine, but that didn't stop them from being loving people. And that was kind of my point, you know, that I want to say. You didn't throw them under the bus at all. No.
Yeah, because there were some nice things that I liked about the Jehovah's Witnesses. And when I went to college, I went to a Catholic women's college and was taught by and surrounded by nuns, and they really opened up their home and their lives to me. They took me under their wing, and they really, a combination of the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Catholic nuns that I met, they're what opened my heart to becoming a Buddhist, because I didn't really believe a lot in religion. And but by their kindness that they showed me, I started to seek. You know, I started to want to seek something. And it just so happened that I took that death and afterlife class, and I thought, you know, well, this seems, because I also liked Hinduism, and but, you know, I just thought, this seems interesting. I want to try this out.
You found the right fit for you. And so that is why, you know, when I have guests like you on my show that will openly share your information without judgment, and I mean, it's just been beautiful. I mean, this show has just been absolutely beautiful, Jean, that you've just, you know, you've opened up your heart, and you're sharing with the people listening of what it's brought into your life. And it's something that people can check out, and it might be the right fit for somebody listening, or it might not, but it doesn't matter either way. I mean, it's about sharing the information and loving people regardless of what path they go down. And you are just such a kind and generous person, just as you are. And so it has just been an absolute pleasure. So now, if people want to find you or reach out to you, what is the best way, Jean?
The best way to get in touch with me is actually through, you can contact me through my Facebook, which is called Things I've Learned Along the Way. And I post all of my radio experiences on there. If you want to know more about Nichiren Buddhism, you can go to the website, which is www.sgi.org. And but you can also contact me via email, which is Jean Day, JeanDay, 319 at yahoo.com.
That's just beautiful. Is there anything else that you would like to share? We have a few more minutes, and so I want to give you this time to share any closing comments or anything.
Just, you know, I just want to encourage people, you know, that are really struggling with motivation or stress or illness, anything like that, to really give this chanting a try when you're in moments where you feel stress. It's really a huge stress reliever. It really gives you a sense of peace and encouragement and motivation. And like I said, it just really can open up your life and bring about some wonderful changes.
So if we all close our eyes right now, would you give us a sample, like a 1 minute of chanting? Would you be comfortable doing that?
Yes, absolutely. So generally we... Oh, go ahead.
What we do, we
generally start out with doing three, we chant Nam Myoho Renge Kyo three times, and then we repeatedly chant it. So I'll do that. So we'll start it. Nam Myoho Renge Kyo, Nam Myoho Renge Kyo, Nam Myoho Renge Kyo. Nam myo rin ne go, 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 nam myo rin ne go.
That was beautiful. That was beautiful, Jean. Thank you so much for sharing that with us today. Because I was kind of lip syncing with you when you were doing it, because I can't say the word. I didn't want to say it out loud and say the words wrong, but I could just feel like this little white light inside of me just beaming. It was a really cool feeling. So I cannot wait till after the show. I'm gonna get in front of my white wall and I'm going to practice it. That's definitely
and Lisa, if you ever want to Skype, we can do it together. Just to make sure you can get the rhythm and the words correctly. Usually I give people a card and it has the words on it because people always get confused about the pronunciation. But it's Nam, which is N-A-M as in Mary, Myoho, M-Y-O-H-O, Renge, R-E-N-G-E, Kyo, K-Y-O.
Okay, I wrote that down.
Wonderful.
Great. Wonderful. Well, thank you for joining me today, and I look forward to having you back on my show. I'm thinking in a couple of months we need to bring you back, and maybe we'll explore this a little bit deeper, and your schedule is just crazy busy right now, but thank you so much, Jean, for joining me today.
Thank you so much. Have a good day.
You too, everybody, and thank you. Have a wonderful day, and we will be back next week live at 1 p.m. Pacific time.
Is your happiness stranded somewhere on an island in the far Pacific? You have no idea what direction you should go to get unstuck. If you have a phone, you can call Lisa for a no-pressure free consultation today. No matter where you live, you have one-on-one access to Lisa, who will guide you to move forward in a positive direction. Lisa Lamont is a certified hypnotherapist and life coach who gets immediate results for hundreds of people around the world. You deserve to be happy today. Call 206-834-LISA or go to www.lisalamont.com. This is your time to awaken your true purpose in life and be happy.